Welcome to the Elusive Truth with Rich and sometimes Larry. That never gets old. Larry was supposed to be with us this week to start off our 2023 season. Larry has to get better. He is taking care of himself so he can be back on the show. Hope you're feeling better, Larry, and we miss you lots. 2023, thank God 2022 is in the books, but 2023 is already starting off with the craziness, the lunacy of the world that we live in. Have you checked out the price of eggs lately? I don't know what's going on. It's the avian flu now. They always have something. I guess they're going to have to get vaccinations for them chickens. So for my first piece, we're going to start off with Russell Brand. Can you believe it that the anti-vaxxers and the people who are purebloods are now considered terrorists? We are the worst group of all since we're not taking the jab and we're not believing this crazy insanity that's being forced down our throats. But anyway, have a listen. Russell Brand. It's definitely interesting and eye-opening, to say the least.
The WHO have released a delicious piece of propaganda explaining that anti-vaccine activism is worse than global terrorism. Meanwhile, you cannot discuss new studies that show information about adverse vaccine reactions. So we're going to have to be pretty careful here, unless we want to be terrorists. Hello there, you 6 million awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this glorious voyage towards personal and community awakening against Goliath's tyrants and titans who want to keep you dumb and distracted. That's why it's so important you turn on that notification bell right now, because we make this content for you every day and it's vital that you receive these stories now. We are up against some pretty powerful forces. For example, the WHO, do you know where they get their funding from? They've released a beautiful little piece of propaganda that reveals that anti-vaccine activism is the worst threat facing the world. It's worse than terrorism. It's worse than anything. Imagine something. It's worse than that. It's the worst thing there is. Meanwhile, there are some studies that have come out that make some interesting claims about adverse vaccine reactions based on available information from the NIH and existing vaccine companies that we literally cannot discuss on this platform, but we will discuss in full over on Rumble. So we'll have to self-censor some of the content here, because otherwise we'll be banned from this platform, and we want to stay on this platform because it's so important that we're able to connect with you. So let's show you their propaganda from the WHO, who by coincidence provide the community guidelines for this platform. They work in lockstep in conjunction with one another. And then the little pieces of information that I'll be giving you about adverse reactions based on studies from NIH and other pharmaceutical outlets, we will self-censor, but you'll be able to get the gist of what we're saying. But to watch it in full, watch it on Rumble. Let's have a look now at the WHO's brilliant piece of propaganda.
We have to recognize that anti-vaccine activism, which I actually call anti-science aggression.
That's what I call it, because that sounds worse, anti-science aggression. Because science, that means objectivity. That means empiricism. That means experimentation. That's what science is. And of course, if science was funded in a particular way and had a particular desired outcome or agenda, like, for example, to accrue profits and revenue, it would still be science. That wouldn't mean that it was a subset of a corporatist globalist movement. No way. It's still science. It's science till I say it's not science.
It's now become a major killing force globally.
It's a major killing force. Are there any other killing forces you want to discuss? No.
During the COVID pandemic in the United States, 200,000 Americans needlessly lost their lives because they refused a COVID vaccine.
Okay, well, let's make sure there's data on that.
Even after vaccines became widely available. And now the anti-vaccine activism is expanding across the world, even into low and middle income countries.
Even those people, poor people, even poor people are anti-vaccine now. I mean, that's not as bad, because we won't give them vaccines anyway, because Bill Gates won't allow them to have the patent. So that's not as bad. But it shows you how bad that even people that can't afford the vaccines don't want the vaccines. And that's a problem.
It's a killing force. Anti-science now kills more people than things like gun violence.
It's worse than guns.
Global terrorism.
Worse than terrorism, that's bad as well.
Nuclear proliferation or cyber attacks.
The worst thing you could have in this world is Putin and not being vaccinated. My God, just imagine an unvaccinated Putin.
And now it's become a political movement. In the US, it's linked to far extremism on the far right.
Far right as well, you know, similarly, there's two things. Not wanting to take a medicine for reasons that we'll be talking about in a minute, and also being a racist. Somehow those things have been combined, almost as if you want to smear people who dissent to ensure that that message can never reach people.
Same in Germany, so this is a new...
Literally got the word propaganda repeated again and again and again, because it is propaganda!
...face of anti-science aggression, and so we need political solutions to address this.
What, like censorship, misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, the subject of the current WEF Davos Convention? What a coincidence. Yeah, it's almost like they're trying to create an appetite where people really want censorship. That's interesting, isn't it, that they're doing that? Almost as if the elite powers cannot cope with the technological revolution and the sudden ability to immediately communicate data, so need a machine now to crush dissent, smear opposing voices, and control the narrative, co-opting all available voices and shutting down any opposition. That's weird.
Political solutions to address this.
World Health Organization, they're proud of it. They've put their logo up at the end of it. They should be embarrassed about that thing. Okay, so there's their propaganda. Here's some information. And of course, the WHO provide the community guidelines when it comes to medical matters for this platform. So we're going to have to be careful here. Join us on Rumble, where I will not be censored. That's why we're there. Not because suddenly now I'm against people expressing themselves however they want to, or what their culture is, or their race or origin. All, as a matter of fact, matters where I have nothing but love, compassion, and acceptance. Not even tolerance, because there's nothing to tolerate. Only love. Now, this is written by two far-right worse-than-terrorist nuclear threats. For example, this terrorist bastard, Robert M. Kaplan. Yeah, sure, he might be Emeritus Distinguished Professor at the UCLA Fielding School of Public Health and an Adjunct Professor of Medicine at Stanford University's Clinical Excellence Research Center. But that's not the full picture. As well as that, he's a terrorist. Oh, yeah, he's also an elected member of the National Academy of Medicine. But he's also worse than a nuclear bomb. Alongside him, his dastardly companion in this murderous endeavor was Sander Greenland, Emeritus Professor of Epidemiology and Statistics at UCLA and Fellow of the American Statistical Association and Royal Statistical Society. And he's also worse than a loaded gun pointed at an orphan. So obviously some of this will be censored, available in full on Rumble. In September 2022, along with an international group of physicians and scientists, we published a study suggesting that the risks of COVID-19 vaccines may be greater than previously reported. Using publicly available data from Pfizer and Moderna studies, okay, so it's Pfizer and Moderna's studies, they're just collating and presenting existing data. We found one serious adverse event that translates to about for each million vaccine recipients. Many physicians and scientists believe that vaccination programs are the key to ending the coronavirus pandemic. Some warn that our analysis might harm public health by stimulating more vaccine hesitancy. Yet if some concerns are valid, remaining quiet could also result in harm and further erode public trust in science. Seems like a reasonable argument. How about having a conversation and allowing people to decide for themselves? We believe that scientists have a responsibility to report on suspected hazards to authorities. Consider of a serious adverse reaction in the context of other vaccines. Okay, so here are some other vaccines that were pulled and what the ratios were there. I'm aware if you're watching this on YouTube, you couldn't hear the ratios because that has to be censored because the WHO, who made that piece of propaganda, controlled the community guidelines, so we're unable to say that there. Join us on Rumble. The 1976 swine flu vaccine was withdrawn after it was associated with Guillain-Barre syndrome at a rate of approximately 1 in 100,000. So at a rate of 1 in 100,000, they pulled it. Compare that to the other statistic. In 1999, the rotavirus vaccine RotaShield was withdrawn following reports of intussusception in about 1 or 2 in 10,000. As widely acknowledged, COVID vaccines prevent hospitalizations, and the clinical trials estimated that between 225 and 625 hospitalizations were prevented per million vaccinated persons. So the same data that these guys are using has some information, which I guess they want you to hear because it's advantageous and beneficial, and presumably also true. Perhaps both of these bits of information are true. But these benefits are likely to be concentrated among vaccinees who are elderly or have chronic illnesses. It's less clear which groups are at risk for serious adverse vaccine reactions. Those at low risk for hospitalization may still be at risk of serious vaccine reactions. We only consider mRNA vaccines, and it's not clear that other COVID-19 vaccines confer the same risk. Regrettably, our analysis was hindered by an addressable problem. The individual level data that could confirm or refute our analysis has not been made public. Presumably because that information would make us so excited excited, we all might run into the streets vaccinating ourselves in an irresponsible way. For example, we would have greater confidence in our conclusions if we knew how often individuals experience multiple serious adverse events. Pfizer, Moderna, and the FDA have these data, but have kept them hidden from public view for some reason. That data was a surprise for your birthday, and you've spoiled it! This information is essential to the understanding of the balance between vaccine benefits and harms. Who would have a vested interest in influencing or biasing the balance between vaccine benefits and harms? I don't know. Let me know in the chat. We are calling upon Pfizer, Moderna, and the FDA to release all information needed for a comprehensive assessment of these products. Why would you not just do that anyway? COVID-19 vaccines are now among the most widely disseminated medicines in the history of the world. They have cost taxpayers tens of billions of dollars, which you'd think would give you a right to transparency, wouldn't you? Rivaling the annual US federal expenditure on biomedical research. There's no legitimate reason why scientists and the public should not have the access to the evidence that justified that purchase. Seems reasonable. Let me know if you hear anything here that sounds like a conspiracy theory or something. Like, when you hear something, tell me, put it in the comments. That bit, that was a conspiracy theory. Yet, evidence is being withheld, which adds uncertainty to our conclusions and leaves lingering questions about the scientific foundation for COVID-19 vaccine promotion. Public posting of raw data is a reasonable response. Open data is becoming the norm in science and is now required by many leading journals. The time has come for the FDA and EMA to reopen their investigations and for Pfizer, Moderna, and all vaccine manufacturers to provide the data that will allow scientists and physicians to address outstanding concerns. You terrorist. You nuclear threat. That is worse than ISIS. I've seen some of ISIS's videos, have you? And they made me sick because of the lack of humanity, the barbarianism. But this, for example, statements like there is no legitimate reason why scientists and the public should not have access to the evidence that justified the purchase. You terrorist. That is real. Whoa. That's actually took the wind out of yourselves a bit, that bit. And what about the bit where they said the vaccines are among the most widely disseminated medicines in history? They've cost the taxpayers tens of billions of dollars. Oh, you make me sick. I've heard some rumors in my time, but this, I wasn't ready for that. I thought I had a strong stomach, but that's actually turned it. Is Guantanamo Bay being closed? Because we need it open again. Get the orange jumpsuits. Get these guys in there. Get the waterboarding. Is Dick Cheney still around to do coaching on waterboarding? Because I want these so-called scientists with their wacky views, like allowing the public and other scientists access to data. I'll give you access to some waterboarding. You bloody terrorists. Anyway, maybe the WHO ain't that bad. They're probably an objective, agenda-free organization with no concerns in the world other than helping us. Put your bloody conspiratorial mind at rest. The Gates Foundation, yeah, I've heard of them. Bill Gates' foundation. The Gates Foundation is the second largest contributor to the WHO. Okay. As of September 2021, it had invested nearly $780 million in its programs this year. That's a good program, though. That's charity, isn't it? That's philanthropy. Giving it to the old WHO, who, you know, they've got no real power except the power to control what's on, for example, YouTube. The community guidelines are controlled by WHO. You can read that for yourself. So in a way, you could say that Bill Gates has some influence over what's allowed on YouTube. Could you? Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments. For an intergovernmental organisation such as the WHO to be so reliant on private philanthropy, especially one whose leaders have personal interests and investments in healthcare, is problematic. For one, it gives a non-government actor an outsized influence on the development and health priorities carried on by the international organisation. Oh, right, yeah, so this guy never been elected by anybody. His wealth has now been accrued and is now invested in a highly influential body and is called philanthropy. There's no way that that influence could lead to further opportunity for profit and power, is there? Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments. Be careful, though, because it'll be censored, because it seems like Bill Gates has got some influence around there. While private foundations can be very generous, they can also be even faster than governments to change their mind about donations, or more dogged in demanding that their funding is used for specific priorities over others. Private foundations' resources tend to be more dependent on the stock market and other investments that could have financial interests that run contrary to their stated missions. Oh, that's weird. That would mean that their stated missions are untrue. This has been the case for the Gates Foundation, which was once a big investor in fossil fuels, and is true of some of Bill Gates' personal investments, which include farmland that sells its produce to fast food chains. There you go, then. I don't ever see him turning up on the TV saying, you know, well, it's really bad for you, McDonald's and stuff, but actually it's sort of quite profitable also. That's why I sell him stuff. I don't see him. He's all about, like, oh, helping these farmers and corn on the cob and all that stuff, isn't it? Never telling you what he's actually up to. I had the corn on the cob for lunch. If a private foundation were to become the WHO's highest donor, it would be transformational, said Lawrence Gostin, faculty director for the O'Neill Institute at Georgetown University and director of WHO WHO's collaborating center on national and global health law. When WHO was formed as an intergovernmental organization, it would have been unimaginable that a private foundation could have such influence, he continued.
Well, imagine harder then, because it's happening, baby.
It would enable a single rich philanthropist to set the global health agenda.
What?
Gostin said, referring to Bill Gates, co-chair of the foundation. Gates himself was slammed by some global health experts last year when he defended stringent intellectual property rights as the best way to speed innovation and move some sort as prioritizing profits over vaccinations. So what you could say is if Bill Gates believes so strongly in this vaccination program that he's willing to significantly invest in the WHO, which might give him some influence over the WHO's policies, which affect what things are allowed to be said on YouTube, then similarly, when it comes to other countries that haven't got the vaccines, which you believe in, because remember, I've just explained to you all the investment in that, then you would remove the patent so that they could make their own vaccines, which you've already said you believe in because there's nothing to worry about there. And it's not just because they're profitable or anything, it's because they're good for you. Oh, they're not willing to remove the patent. So he's explained in a variety of ways why that is. But for me, it just don't make sense. So there you are. You've seen some WHO propaganda. You've heard the gist, depending on what platform you're watching on Rumble, you can get the full truth of what this adverse event study has revealed and suggested using information from Pfizer, Moderna, and the FDA. Why don't you make up your own mind? Or do you need someone else to make up your mind for you? Would you like someone to control the information you get access to? Well, you heard the bleeping. It's been done for you to prevent you having to think or worry or make decisions for yourself. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments and the chat. If you enjoyed this video, have a look at either of these and turn on that notification bell, because we have to do everything we can to get this information out to as many people as possible so that we can organize by creating alternative narratives. Remember, they work this hard to control the information because they know the power the truth has and they know the power you have. More important than any of that is that you please stay free.
As Russell Brand said before, if you want to hear the whole interview in its entirety, go to Reddit, where they do not censor this content. Again, it's something, it's very important. He does say a lot of stuff that is just absolutely mind-blowing, that this is our society today in 2023. So now that we've had our fill of vaccination BS, we're now going to switch it to Senator Rand Paul, who's going to read a story called Yours Not to Give. And again, what has our country become? What is the Senate doing? What is the Congress doing? What happened to our Constitution? We need to get back to the basics. But have a listen. Makes a lot of sense. And the more we understand the Constitution, the more we understand what the government is trying to do to us. So here again is Senator Rand Paul speaking to his constituents that are getting an earful.
There was an essay written in 1867 that was published in Harper's Magazine. It was called Not Yours to Give. It's the story of Davy Crockett as a congressman in the late 1820s. Like most stories of that vintage, some will argue that the story is an accurate rendition, while others may say it is apocryphal. The moral of the story, however, is incontestable. Davy Crockett only served two terms in Congress, but on one day in Congress, he was confronted with a bill to give money to the widow of a military officer. Davy Crockett arose and gave this speech. Mr. Speaker, I have as much respect for the memory of the deceased and as much sympathy for the suffering of the living, if suffering there be, as any man in the House, but we must not permit our respect for the dead or our sympathy for a part of the living to lead us into an act of injustice to the balance of the living. We have the right as individuals to give away as much of our own money as we please in charity, but as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of the public money. Davy Crockett continued, I'm the poorest man on this floor. I cannot vote for this bill, but I will give a 1 week's pay. I will give my check for 1 week. And if every member of Congress were to do this, it will amount to more than this bill asks for. When Crockett finished, there was silence, and remarkably, the bill failed. When later asked for an explanation, Davy Crockett explained. He said, several years ago, I was standing one evening on the steps of the Capitol when we saw a large, great light over Georgetown. It was evidently a large fire. We jumped into a hack and drove over there as fast as we could. In spite of all that could be done, many houses were burned and many families were made homeless. And besides, some of them had lost all but the clothes they had on. The weather was very cold, and when I saw so many women and children suffering, I felt that something must be done. The next morning, a bill was introduced appropriating $20,000 for their relief. We put aside all other business and rushed it through as soon as it could be done. Later in the year, when Davy Crockett was back in Tennessee, he ran into a constituent by the name of Horatio Bunce. Crockett asked him for his vote, and Horatio Bunce responded thusly. He said, "You'd better not waste your time on my vote. I shall not vote for you again. Your vote last winter shows that either you have not the capacity to understand the Constitution, or that you're wanting in honesty and firmness to be guided by it. Because the Constitution, to be worth anything, must be held sacred and rigidly observed in all its provisions. The man who wields power and misinterprets the Constitution is more dangerous the more honest he is." Horatio Bunce continued. He says, "No, Colonel, there's no mistake. The newspapers say that last winter you voted for this bill to give $20,000 to some who suffered from a fire in Georgetown. Is that true?" Congressman Crockett answered him, "Well, my friend, I may as well own up. You've got me there. But certainly nobody would complain that a great and rich country like ours couldn't give $20,000, the insignificant sum of $20,000, to relieve its suffering women and children." Horatio Bunce replied to Congressman Crockett. He said, "The power of collecting and dispersing money at pleasure is the most dangerous power that can be entrusted to a man. While you are contributing to relieve one, you are drawing it from thousands who are even worse off than he. If you had the right to give anything, the amount was simply a matter of discretion with you, and you had as much right to give 20 million as to give 20,000. If you have the right to give to one, you have the right to give to all. And as the Constitution neither defines charity nor stipulates the amount, you are at liberty to give to any and everything which you may believe or profess to believe is a charity, and to any amount you may think proper. No, Colonel Crockett, Congress has no right to give charity. Individual members may give as much of their own money as they please, but they have no right to touch a dollar of the public money for that purpose. If twice as many houses had burned in this county in Tennessee as had in Georgetown, neither you nor any other members of Congress would have thought of appropriating a dollar for our relief." Bunce informed Crockett that if each congressman had shown their sympathy for the fire victims by giving 1 week's pay, it would have nearly covered the cost. But it was easier simply to give other people's money. Bunce continued, "The people about Washington no doubt applauded you for relieving them from the necessity of giving, by giving what was not yours to give. The people have delegated Congress, by the Constitution, the power to certain things. To do these, it is authorized to collect and pay monies, and for nothing else. Everything beyond this is usurpation and a violation of the Constitution. So you see, Colonel, you have violated the Constitution in what I consider a vital point. It is a precedent fraught with danger to the country, for when Congress begins to stretch its power beyond the limits of the Constitution, there is no limit to it and no security for the people. Today we are faced with a vastly greater sum of money than $20,000. We are faced with $40 billion to be gifted to Ukraine. A noble cause, no doubt, a cause for which I have great sympathy and support, but a cause for which the Constitution does not sanction or approve of. Now we could ask, as Davy Crockett did, if each member of the Senate would like to contribute individually to Ukraine. But of course, that would simply serve to demonstrate the enormity of the gift. To come up with $40 billion, each senator would need to give $400 million. Not a likely scenario. It's much easier to spend such exorbitant amounts if you're spending someone else's money. But even if the senators won't agree to contribute their own money, surely we're a rich country and can afford it. Well, not exactly. The U.S. debt now approaches $30 trillion. In the past 2 years alone, we have added nearly $6 trillion in new debt. Inflation roars throughout the land. Grocery bills are punishing the working class and poor, and gas prices exceed $5. Even before the pandemic bailouts, our country was running a $1 trillion annual deficit just to pay for its routine commitments. Putting aside the constitutionality of the $40 billion to Ukraine, isn't there a more fiscally responsible way this could be done? What about taking the $40 billion from elsewhere in the budget? The U.S. spends more on our military than the next eight countries combined. Couldn't Congress simply shift over the $40 billion and not add to the debt? In the defense of Ukraine, if the defense of Ukraine is really in our national security interest, shouldn't the gift come from our military budget? What about cutting wasteful spending? My office cataloged over $50 billion in waste. I don't know about you, but couldn't we cut programs like the $1 million study to see if taking selfies of yourself while smiling and then looking at these selfies later on, if that makes you feel good? Or couldn't we cut the budget of the National Science Foundation that spends billions of dollars studying such burning questions as, do Panamanian city frogs have a different mating call than the country frogs? Couldn't we maybe cut the $2 million the NIH spent studying cafeterias to see if someone in front of you sneezes on the food, whether you're more or less likely to eat that food? Couldn't we maybe cut the money spent on Japanese quail, studying whether or not they're more sexually promiscuous or not when you give them coke?
So it's nice to think that these political assassins are able to take our hard-earned money and then freely spend it however they like. So to finish this up, but change it a little bit, is a quick little thing from Fox News. Nancy Pelosi and her husband, it's a quick little thing on their insider trading, as some want to believe, not giving her money away, but making money while they're in office. It's just ridiculous.
In the course of your career, has your husband ever made a stock purchase or sale based on information you've received from you?
No. Absolutely not. Okay.
And end of conversation. That's the Hot Topic Buzz this morning. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi dismissing any questions about whether she gives her husband inside information before he purchases stocks. He did it again. He purchased 20,000 shares of NVIDIA worth up to $5 million right before a planned congressional vote that would deliver billions of dollars in subsidies to the chip manufacturing industry, including NVIDIA. Twitter user Chris Dunn pointing out, rules for me, but not for thee.
Welcome to 2023. Isn't that amazing? 2022 was so crazy. I mean, the Pelosi's, what a year that Nancy's husband had. You know, drunk driving, getting off, getting slapped on the wrist, and then getting slapped around with the hammer by his boyfriend or burglar, whichever they prefer at the moment. They were trying to kill poor old Nancy when she wasn't even there. Clown world, circus world, whatever you want to call it. We're heading into more of that same fun, especially now that the tides are turning a little bit, and Republicans, which, by the way, aren't the greatest things in the world either. You got to watch them just as closely as you have to do with these Democrats. But at least there's some glimmer of hope that things are starting to change and for the better. Only time will tell. I'm sure Larry has a lot of stuff to talk about, and he'll be on real soon, sooner than you think. So with that, we're going to change gears. Enough politics. Going to do things that we like to do. Talk about this crazy, weird, supernatural stuff that's taking place all over the world. If you've been going online, checking out things on YouTube, apparently there's a lot of giants being spotted in Mexico, Washington, China. I mean, there's a half dozen reports of Nephilim that are being seen all over the place in these mountainous ranges. With that, we're going to talk about a man named Andrew Ryan Dawson. Apparently, he filmed something that he wasn't supposed to, and then several weeks later, apparently, he has died. I don't know much about the person, as it was a TikTok viral sensation of what he captured. And I did a little research, and if you do go online, go to the World Wide Web and put his name in, you'll see a couple of obituaries, and I don't know. It's, you can't believe anything that you read these days anywhere, but check it out. This is interesting. Giants, they're starting to show up. The supernatural stuff is getting crazy.
Could this be a giant? A TikToker is rumored to have passed away after posting a strange video of an alleged giant on a mountain in Canada, sparking rumors that the CIA got to him to cover up the story. In April 2022, Canadian TikToker Andrew Dawson posted a video of a strange tall shape on top of a mountain in Vancouver. The details are shaky, but Dawson insists to the skeptical driver that it's a giant man.
It's a person standing there.
No, it's not!
Dude, have you seen what I've seen right now?
The video gained millions of views and set Dawson on a giant hunt that would last weeks. He went back to the mountain multiple times, but the giant was never seen again, only making him more determined to spot it. Things got weird when Dawson was pulled over by who he claims was the CIA.
I just got stopped by like some CIA agent. He told me to turn around, said I'm trespassing. I said it's a public area.
He posted several videos showing the alleged CIA blocking access to the mountain. In one video, helicopters are seen flying around the mountain as if searching for something. In another, strange lights are seen in the sky that he suggests could be a UFO, writing, "Did the thing on the mountain go home?" Before long, the agents allegedly started to stalk Dawson. He posted a video of a black car parked outside his home. When he goes out to confront the driver speeds away. In early May, Dawson posted a strange video in which he confesses that the giant sighting was fake.
Sorry to disappoint you guys, but all the videos that I posted were scripted. They were just fake. They were just strictly for entertainment.
Throughout the video, his eyes dart off camera as if being instructed by someone. 10 days later, he backpedaled on the claim in a distressing video, saying,
"You might not see me post ever again. My videos weren't fake."
Dawson posted his final video on May 17th, showing footage of the same mountain, now with a huge new building on top of it. No one has seen him online since. Rumors have circulated online that Dawson passed away in July, with numerous videos showing what they claim to be evidence, including an obituary. His girlfriend has posted several videos mourning his passing as well, but has never spoken on the giant. Others are spreading rumors that the CIA got to him to hide the truth about the giant on the mountain, sparking one of the biggest TikTok conspiracy theories of 2022. Many are skeptical of the giant videos and the death altogether, assuming the whole thing is a setup for views. TikTokers have been revisiting the mountain since the story blew up to look for the giant themselves. None have been successful, although one person did capture the mysterious building in better detail. Some TikTokers have suggested that the building is nothing more than a radio tower, while others think it's a government research facility. Some TikTokers believe the creature is a Nephilim, a giant discussed in the Hebrew Bible that some interpret as the sons of fallen angels. In 1577, researchers even believe they found the fossil of a Nephilim who was washed away in the Great Flood, although it was later discovered that this was a mammoth fossil. Could Dawson have really spotted a giant on the mountain? Unfortunately, we may never know for sure.
I realize that last piece I played you was highly produced and was very dramatic, but it was the clip that basically had the whole story in one rather than a bunch of little stories. Check it out. Go on YouTube. Go online. Look up monsters. Look up giants and mountains. You can't believe the stuff that just comes pouring out of your computer. It's amazing. And even with this story, Nephilim and these crazy giants and all this stuff happening, and then you come across a story that I have here for you now that the real reason we invaded Iraq, from slings and stones. I'm telling you, unbelievable stuff. And there's even more stories about this story. So have a listen as we jump down the rabbit hole big time.
On my orders, coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance. to undermine Saddam Hussein's ability to wage war. These are opening stages of what will be a broad and concerted campaign.
On March 19, 2003, a year and a half after the attacks of September 11th, the United States military invaded Iraq. Now, this was strange because Iraq had nothing to do with the attacks on September 11th, so of course, American politicians had to find another reason to give the public for the reason for the invasion. And this reason became weapons of mass destruction.
I think we will find weapons of mass destruction. I think it's important that we do.
He's lying to him when he says he doesn't have weapons of mass destruction.
I take the fact that he develops weapons of mass destruction very seriously.
These weapons of mass destruction were actually non-existent. None were ever found in Iraq. And it turns out the intelligence on these WMDs was pretty faulty and absolutely did not warrant the invasion of a nation.
The man charged with finding WMDs released this report, revealing that he'd found nothing.
We did not find stocks of either chemical or biological weapons. Active nuclear weapons program, no. We found no evidence, nor do we judge that there was one.
Since there was no real surface-level reasons for the invasion of Iraq, here's a theory of a hidden reason. As American troops step foot on Iraqi sand, what would you expect their first targets to be? A weapons depot? Enemy safe houses detected through surveillance? Or maybe one of Saddam Hussein's palaces? These would be good guesses, but they'd be wrong. The first place the United States military targeted was a museum. Not just any museum, but a museum right in the heart of Babylon. Babylon is the most famous city from ancient Mesopotamia, whose ruins lie in modern-day Iraq, 59 miles southwest of Baghdad. The name is derived from Bavil or Bavilim, which in Akkadian meant Gate of God or Gate of the Gods. This claim of the military first targeting a Babylonian museum was given to Tom Horn, the creator of Skywatch TV, by a supposed curator from the Babylonian Museum. Now, of course, we can't just go off of one testimony for solid, absolute truth, but we can look at the rest of what happened in Iraq and see that this could very well be the case, including a strange message sent to Hillary Clinton found on the Freedom of Information website talking about the tomb of Gilgamesh and where the Nephilim body is buried. I'll get to that in just a moment, but a few other articles to back up this claim. Fox News in 2015 posted, UNESCO US military did damage to the historic site of Babylon. Within the article, it says that Americans handed the site back to the Iraqis 21 months after the March 2003 invasion, pointing out the fact that the US military was controlling sections of ancient Babylon. Or another article here saying, US to return Gilgamesh tablet, 17,000 other artifacts taken from Iraq. This article on Al Jazeera says that it's believed the tablet was looted from an Iraqi museum in 1990 and introduced in the United States in 2007, just showing the fact that the United States has a history of stealing artifacts, especially those related to Nephilim bloodlines. Now, there's a video that surfaced in 2013 claiming to record the actual tomb, body, and some artifacts of Gilgamesh. This footage, of course, cannot be verified and very well could be fake. But I figured I would play that footage while I pull up a message that was sent to Hillary Clinton that is absolutely not fake. This message can be found on the US Department of State Freedom of Information Act website. I will leave a link to this in the description below. If you click on the top link, it pulls up a number of messages sent to government officials. Now, I read online that this one was allegedly sent to Hillary Clinton. I guess there's no way to truly know that for sure, but this is absolutely a message that was sent in regards to the body and location of a buried Nephilim. On page 470, six messages up from the bottom of the page, we can see that Denitra D. Singar sent a message that reads, requesting documents pertaining to the resurrection chamber of Gilgamesh, the location of his body, and the location of the buried Nephilim. This was on December 12, 2018, and the case status for this is closed. So this message, at the very least, proves that the United States has an interest in locating the body and burial sites of giants and Nephilim, something that, of course, if they were ever questioned about this in public, such as happens with inquiries to the Smithsonian Museum, would say that giants and Nephilim didn't exist. Now, what would be the reason for anybody to locate or cover up the existence of the giants, the offspring of the Nephilim? Well, because there is a high likelihood that they are trying to reincarnate these entities, and when successful, these will be some of the entities that come upon the earth in the last days that cause men's heart to faint from fear of those things coming upon the earth. An obscure end times Bible passage that is rarely mentioned is in Isaiah 13, the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos saw. In Isaiah 13:3, it says, "I give command and I bring them. Giants are coming to fulfill my wrath, rejoicing at the same time and insulting." Could this be the reason why the CIA is investing in so many DNA editing firms? One such firm, Colossal, who claim on the surface level's main focus is to bring back the woolly mammoth by the year 2027. Just imagine what such DNA editing firms would do if they got the bones of giants, the offspring of Nephilim, and were able to bring them back to life. I covered this more deeply in a recent video that I'll leave linked in the description. We also have claims that giants even still exist, and the military is trying to extract them as well. The Kandahar giant is an alleged 12-foot humanoid that confronted the US forces in the mountainous regions of Kandahar. We know giants existed before the flood and even after that. There could be a possibility that a very small remnant of giants even still exists today in the earth. Much of this information and these theories have been released by the pioneers in the subject, Gen 6 Productions, LA Marzulli, and Skywatch TV. I recommend looking into those guys more if you're interested in the subject. So what was the real reason for the Iraqi war? Was it to find weapons of mass destruction that we really didn't have solid evidence actually even existed? Or was it to find Nephilim DNA to resurrect the giants that God will use against those who resurrect them to fulfill his wrath, as told to us in the burden against Babylon in Isaiah 13? An interesting topic and an interesting theory at the very least. Let me know what you think in the comments below. Thanks for watching, and God bless.
About not finding WMD when you had a CIA director which said slam dunk.
No, he said slam dunk that the case, he didn't say slam dunk weapons. His point, just so you know, was that the case was a solid case. In other words, presenting the case would be a solid case to the people.
A solid case that there were WMD.
Right, that the evidence showed that he had WMD. I'm not,
right.
We're splitting hairs,
right.
But sorry.
I'm telling you right now, freaky stuff. And I would not be surprised at all that our government does things like this. And to think we went to Iraq because of weapons of mass destruction and we were going to take care of the bad guys. And it turns out that we pretty much were the bad guys. And oh my goodness, what a tangled web we weave. And as I said before, there's more stories about this. This is just the first angle of this ancient civilization and our government trying to get back to it. Goes all back to this crazy ritualistic stuff that's been happening. So, but that's for another show. And I want to thank you for joining us. Larry will be with us next time. We love you all. Stay safe. Keep them high vibrations going. And until next week, keep looking for the elusive truth.